Blog Talk Radio.
Fantasy sports and politics.
Let's get ready to rumble!
You wanna talk back? You in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got your little views, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy sports and politics.
That bass line, you know it's my time. It's me, Mr. FSP, Vic Gardner, the place to be welcoming you to Fantasy Sports and Politics Saturday edition. It has to be a special day. It's a wonderful day in the neighborhood, a beautiful day in the neighborhood.
I would think you would be a little bit more cooler than singing Mr. Rogers, being that you're what, 38 years old now? Come on,
37,
man.
37, get it right. 37,
whatever. It doesn't make a difference. The numbers start flowing together as you get older. So 37, 38, don't make a difference. You're still pushing closer to 40. So happy birthday, to you.
Thank you. I don't mind hitting 40, you know. I'm still sexy, so I'm good.
And you still are a loser. But that's okay.
We're going to talk about that today. We're going to talk about that today, loser. I mean, you know, you think you all that in a bag of potato chips, but you are not. So we're going to get to that. I said you think you're all that in a bag of potato chips, but you are not.
Okay.
So we're going to get to that today.
Okay.
I mean,
I see another championship in both leagues in the horizon.
What?
Oh, absolutely.
Dude, what are you smoking on?
Absolutely. You guys in the Yahoo League are just letting me get away with a lot of pickups, and I'm just loving it. And I'm still got two studs sitting on the DL. Wait till they come back.
I mean, you talking that talk. We're going to get to it. Just hold on. Let me get to what we're going to talk about today. We're going to wrap that track of yours.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go.
Sure.
On today's show, we will discuss Derek Fisher's situation. If you joined us on Thursday, Jerry brought it up, and he might have more information on it and shed some light on it. But there's an issue with Derek Fisher of the Oklahoma City Thunder. He is the NBA player, union president.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some issues going on there, and Jerry's going to talk about that today. We'll discuss it. We're going to talk and hear about the Sacramento Kings situation, whereas Kevin Johnson, former NBA player of the Phoenix Suns, current Sacramento, California mayor, put together a situation whereas the Kings will be bought from the Maloof brothers and stay in Sacramento with their new stadium and all that coming up. So we'll hear from him and we'll talk about that. Jerry will talk about the Preakness because, you know, horses are his thing as well. We're going to hear about, I believe, the favorite, which is aptly named Patience. We'll get to that. As Jerry alluded to earlier, the little punk, we've got some fantasy baseball to discuss.
Call me what you want. All I do is win, no matter what.
Hey, look, DJ Khaled. DJ Khaled, be quiet. So we're going to talk about that, and we're going to discuss the top 10 draft picks. We're going to give them a grade thus far. Right now, Jerry isn't accurate on his assessment of Trout, but he's not too far off. We're going to get some information on that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's only a third of the season passed, so he's got two-thirds to go. But we're going to talk about that. And we'll hear from the doctor that has been working on Rob Gronkowski. I mean, what's his fantasy value coming up this year?
Good luck.
Is there a fantasy value for Gronkowski this year?
Good luck.
Well, we'll see what happens. If you want to join in on the conversation, you can always dial 347-637-3220. Again, that number is 347-637-3220. Also, you can join us on our page, blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK. We'll get into all that great stuff. Also, wanted to mention the Dwight Freeney signing with San Diego.
Right.
I don't think that's a good fit, but we'll get to that once we talk about football. But right now, because you brought it up, JT,
mm-hmm.
I want to hear from you about Fisher, about this whole Fisher situation. What have you found out, and what can you enlighten the listeners on?
Well, you know, this is one of these, you know, one of the things I'm going to say, and a theme for a couple of these guys is a 10-foot pole, meaning I wouldn't touch some of these guys with a 10-foot pole, and Derek Fisher is one of them. Now, everybody's got the perception that Derek Fisher is a good guy. Perception is not the reality. I read a couple articles, including with Jason Whitlock, which is dated yesterday. And anyone who's been following the what's going on with the NBA, especially with the hierarchy, Derek Fisher and Billy Hunter, and especially when they had the negotiations with the NBA, that Derek Fisher and Billy Hunter didn't see eye to eye for a lot of reasons, and they were doing a lot of backbiting. Well, I read this article. And from what I understand, just like I brought it up on Thursday, that Derek Fisher was accused, or it was assumed, I wouldn't say assumed, but it was alleged and believed that a lot of that what Derek Fisher was doing was engaged in secret negotiations with the owner to end the 2011 lockout on terms beneficial to the owners himself and certain players. And Derek Fisher at the time, when it was brought up by Whitlock, for the most part, threatened to sue Whitlock because of defamation of character. Well, he never sued him at all. And at one point, the Union Executive Committee voted 8-0 to have Fisher resign due to the fact some of the things that were going on. Now, Derek Fisher and Billy Hunter, neither one of these guys are innocent because Billy Hunter, for the most part, was hiring, had a lot of nepotism going on in the union and was pushing work to his family. To benefit his family, and that's one of the reasons why he got pushed out. But there was a lot of backbiting, quite naturally. If you followed, there was a lot of backbiting between these two. Derek Fisher should have been out probably a year ago, but because he kind of turned the tables on Billy Hunter, he saved himself, and he's still the president. But this lawsuit now alleging what I just said previously, it's going to be a problem. The other thing is, and this is why I'm saying Derek Fisher is not what you think he is. I saw this thing here that when Derek Fisher played for the Utah Jazz, years ago, he used his daughter's health as an excuse to get out of Utah. And then just this past season, and this is in Whitlock's article that I'm looking at on FoxSports.com. He used his he hid behind his alleged desire to spend time with his family to get out of playing for the Dallas Mavericks. Thinking he could steal another title, he later signed with the Oklahoma City Thunder, which he played in the playoffs with the Thunder. Now, this is a quote from Mark Cuban, okay? Look, my personality is to try to help somebody, particularly somebody I thought one way about, even though it didn't turn out that way. I was just trying to be nice and help. Usually when you help somebody, you expect some semblance of loyalty back. So when you don't get it, it's more disappointing. Now, there's more to come, and there's more things that are going to be exposed at this alleged, and I'm not calling him this, this is in the article, alleged backstabber, meaning Derek Fisher. I imagine all this is going to come to light, and more proof is going to come out there that Derek Fisher did things that he shouldn't have done when he was the president negotiating with the NBA to get a contract. And I don't know how long Derek Fisher is going to be remaining the president of the NBA Players Association. There may be rumblings right now in an effort to get his ass out of there. So,
quite possibly. I want to also I neglected to say this, and I should have said it earlier, but Jackie Taylor is supposed to stop by sometime today. And
okay.
We're going to discuss, you know, the Knicks and stuff like this, stuff
mm-hmm.
exactly like this.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully she calls in. I'm not sure if this is her right now, but I have a call from 24 we're going to bring on the air and see what they have to say about this whole Fisher situation. Caller from the 240, welcome to Fantasy Sports Politics. Please state your name.
My man calling here 2 years, and you don't know the difference in my numbers, man.
You have like 20
Boy,
different numbers. You have a burner phone.
No, I ain't,
you
got,
just
I
like
ain't
Jerry.
Got two, I ain't got but two numbers, and you can ask Jerry.
240 or 301?
Thank you.
240 or 301.
See, that's how you know when you know people are running the board correctly. You know what I'm saying?
You know what? Get your question out. You ain't ruining my day. Talk, old dude. Talk.
That's right. That's right. That's right. I'm older than
Talk.
You. That's right.
That's right.
Older.
That means you're gonna die before me. Come on.
Oh,
let's go.
Stop. That doesn't necessarily mean. That doesn't necessarily mean just because he's older than you, he's going to pass away before you do.
Well, Jerry, you're going before all of us, so it doesn't matter.
Hey, man. No one. Tomorrow is never promised to anybody. Trust that.
I got money to say Jerry outlived both of us.
I don't think so.
That.
No, I'll take that bet. What do you got to say about this Derek Fisher situation, though?
I don't know, man. It don't look good. But I don't, that thing with what Mark Cuban said, you know, that's not like sour grapes, man. You know, y'all heard the story before about the frog and the scorpion. You know, you can't. I mean, just because it's in somebody's nature to be a certain way, you cannot expect them not to be that way. I mean, but you know, he probably didn't know Derek Fisher was like that. I don't know. But he always looked to be shady to me because it seemed like every year he would sign with a team. And then leave that team and then come back and sign with a playoff contender. You know what I'm saying? Mysteriously. Right before playoff time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he did it with Utah. You know what I'm saying? Then he came back to the Lakers. And then he did it to Dallas and came to the Thunder. And I don't know. I mean, he's a shifty dude. He real shifty. So I don't know.
Well, here's my question then. You know, if he has this reputation of being this type of person, Jerry mentioned he worked out something where he got Billy Hunter under his thumb or whatever, but owners in the NBA, if you know, there's a reputation, they talk, you know, and they'll say, okay, well, he's older, so that means he's not going to give you quality minutes. Plus, he has this type of reputation about being this type of individual, why deal with them? And, you know, if he's not there, can he then still be the player union president? If he's not, if he can.
I don't think he had that reputation, Victor. I mean,
right.
I don't think he ever had that. I mean, I had the utmost respect for him. I mean, the man got
mm-hmm.
five rings. He got 5 rings, man.
Yeah.
You know, that commands presence when you walk in there. You know what I'm saying? When you're running for these offices of, you know, as a player president, you know, who better? You got 5 rings. What you going to tell him? And he over 30, a grown man, with all these little boys out there playing, all these 6'8" and 7-foot little boys. Come on, man.
Plus the fact this guy is the perception of this guy for a long time was that he was a good guy. Okay? To the media. Definitely to the media that he was a good guy. Now, behind closed doors, who knows? Or this is just something that he's developed in the last few years of being, for lack of a better word, underhanded and sneaky. So, you don't know what the circumstances and situation that it's come to this and how long it's been that he's been like this, allegedly.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, for me personally, until everything comes out to the light, I'm going to try to keep an open viewpoint on this guy and the situation.
Mm-hmm.
Hunter is he's no saint himself.
Right, that's why I said that.
Yeah, so he's really...
And neither is Cuban. Neither is Cuban. The only thing that I was paying attention to more so is any of his dealings with the league and it being more beneficial to him or beneficial to other players. I would pay more attention to that, but I would give a slight pass to that. A little bit because, you know, he put other people on, you know what I mean? It wasn't like he didn't put his job was to put the whole league on his back and represent everybody. I got that. But I'm going to tell you like this, Rick. If I get put on with something, I'm going to call you and be like, look, I'm going to hook you up. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean,
I'm not really on this, you know, Derek Fisher, you know, evil type. It looks shifty, you know what I'm saying? But I'm shifty, so I'm not really going to slap his hands on this. Both of them don't sound like sour grapes. Like you said, Hunter sound like he is just, he ain't right. He ain't been right. And then Cuban... Every now and again, he get on these tangents and say just like the absolute wrong thing. But I can see why he would be upset with him. So, I don't know. It's still a toss up.
Well, McCall, and I have to bring this up because on Thursday, one of the programs we were on, you said you like an owner that talks and speaks up. Well, this is an owner that talks and speaks up and says how he feels. So.
I like that about him. I like that. I mean, and he will go beyond in depth. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So I do like that. But a lot of his positions, I just wasn't feeling. You know what I mean? I just wasn't feeling.
Right.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I don't like him. Not that I hate him either. I mean, hell, I'd love for him to own this so-called basketball franchise out here. this basketball franchise out here is a joke.
For now, they'll get better. Hopefully, they'll get better.
They will never get better.
That's probably for a different day. We'll discuss that after the NBA draft, or maybe that night of the NBA draft, since it's on a Thursday. The crew. We'll talk about it, and
how many years has that team been in the top 5, top 6, man? This team is disgusting.
I got it, but we're not talking about that right now. I got it.
All right, go ahead.
I want to move on to the team that put out Derek Fisher and Oklahoma City Thunder, talking about the Grizzlies. Now, we discussed this possibility of this matchup, and everybody – from this show and the crew show, when we discussed it, said that this would be a very good series. It would be an old-school ABA series because of the style of play they're going to have. some people might think it's going to be boring because it's not going to be that exciting, dunk 'em, all over the place type basketball, which is okay. Let's hear from the Grizzlies coach on the matchup that he and his team has versus the Spurs.
They're a very formidable opponent. You have your Manu Ginobili, and then you have a Green, and you have Neil, and all these guys that can come off the bench and just make shots and attack you. And so, you know, it's a very tough matchup.
Now, here's the deal, guys. We're going to talk about the matchup, but before we get to the matchup, I want to discuss this one issue. Head coach of the Grizzlies is a free agent coach at the end of the playoffs, whether they go to the championship or this is the last series. This is the second year in a row that I believe the Grizzlies were in the championship, Western Conference Championship last year as well. But this is the second year in a row.
They won the Western Conference championship. What? You mean a division?
The Western Conference championship game. Last year, I believe they were in the Western Conference championship game, but this is the second time that the Grizz have been so far in the playoffs that it's been a I guess you could call it a breakthrough moment for the coach. So since he's going to be a free agent, what is the likelihood that he stays with the Grizzlies and doesn't go to another team in order to make them better?
I don't know how you could call this a breakthrough for him. I mean, because if they were here last year.
Meaning, what I mean by that is that you know, not too many people know about this coach. He's not on a national stage because Memphis isn't on a national stage. But for the past several years, he has been a very, very good coach with the talent he has. So that's what I mean by that.
Yeah, but okay. I mean, because they were in the Western Conference Finals last year, and they had a good record last year. The only reason they didn't win is the same reason Oklahoma didn't win this year. You know, they had a dude hurt. You know, Z-Bo was hurt last year. You know, and Oklahoma ran him out the gym.
Mm-hmm.
They ran him out the gym. I mean, but, I still thought Oklahoma could still run him, but, you know, injuries happen or whatever. But, I don't know. I like that old school game, whatever, but I'll probably be checking on this game at the 2-minute mark at every one of them.
Okay.
I'm going with the Grizz, though. I'm going with the Grizz.
I thought, last week you said you would take the Spurs in this series if it came up. What made you change your mind?
No, I did not.
I thought you said the Grizz. Okay.
No, I did not. Go listen to that tape. I said, if the Grizzlies get in this joint, they go into the finals, period. I said that, period. Yes, I did. I said, if they get in there, they going in there, period. If San Antonio go up in there and they go up against Oklahoma, it's going to be San Antonio. That's exactly what I said. I know what I said.
We'll check the tape.
You check the tape.
Sure
ain't no we. You check the tape. I know that.
I know you ain't gonna check it. I don't care if you check it. It's my show. I said it.
No, you.
This
check
is Jim Rome.
It ain't your show. You check it. Ain't no we.
This is Jim Rome. I'm
we
Jim Rome.
Okay.
Go ahead, JT.
Well, I can't recall what I said last week. I may have Alzheimer's. Who the hell knows? Anyway, between these two teams, in my opinion, it's a toss-up because both teams have a strong suit that the other team can be exploited by. Tony Parker and Manu Ginobili can exploit that matchup against the Memphis Grizzlies, and I think that the Twin Towers, so to speak, of Zach Randolph and Gasol can exploit the front court in San Antonio. Tim Duncan has been playing phenomenal in the playoffs, but he's going to have his hands full dealing with both these guys and the whole front court of San Antonio. And to me, this is a real toss-up. This is going to be a grinded-out series. But I'd have to go with Memphis has been here before. They know what they got a sour taste in their mouth. I think they get over the hump and get to the finals.
Okay. All right. I believe Memphis should advance. Will they? I'm not sure. The reason why I say it is because player for player, the Grizzlies can match up pretty well with the Spurs. Ginobili, older, hurt. Parker, older, hurt, but knows how to continue playing to that high level. Then you've got Duncan. You know, he might be older, but he still can bank it off the glass and stuff like that. What it'll come down to, in my opinion, is how do they handle Zebo and Gasol at the same time?
That's what I'm talking about.
You know, Timmy can check one. Timmy can't check both. The Spurs don't have a big man that's a defensive standout. Like Bruce Bowen, you know, before he retired, that's all he was good for, playing defense. You know, he can get you a couple points here and there, but his whole goal was to lock down a player. So if the Spurs don't have that, where are they going to find it? And how are they going to accomplish, you know, winning the series or covering both players? That's the issue. Now, they can turn into a jump shot contest with Ginobili and Parker and Green just shooting, but they got to make those shots. You know, I think they'll be killed on the boards if they don't do it right. That's just my opinion. But speak to me, Jerry, about the head coach's position. You know, he's a free agent. Will he get signed? Should he be signed to a lucrative contract with a small market? Or should he test his luck and hopefully get picked up by a different team?
This is an absolute travesty, in my opinion. Lionel Hollins had been coaching his ass off with this team, dealing with the diva-type attitude of Zach Randolph, who he's had to bench and sit down a few times during the season, and still be able to get this team back to where it's at right now. He should have been signed a long time ago. This makes no sense to me why a coach that's been doing what he's been doing should be on his last year of his contract and not signed to a long-term contract when it's obvious this is the team. This is the coach for this team. And he can get the best out of this team, and they got a lot of respect for him, and the players play hard for him. So, and I can't see them falling off the map anytime soon, especially when they have those two big men down deep, and all they have to do is keep developing their younger guys in the perimeter. It makes no sense to me why this guy's not signed. And it would be a foolish thing for the Memphis Grizzlies organization to let him get away to some other team because they dropped the ball and didn't sign this guy, wrap him up long term.
Okay.
The Buzzards need a coach.
Say what?
The Buzzards need a coach.
The Buzzards need a coach.
Oh my God. All right,
you know that team that changed their name from to the Wizards? You know what I'm saying?
I knew it was going there. They do. Honestly, they do. But I was thinking more so of a team out here where I am, the Clippers. Del Negro.
The Clippers?
Del Negro's also a lame duck coach who doesn't have his locker room, who has some acrimony between his star players and himself. So, and they had an early dismissal from the playoffs. They're trying to keep Chris Paul. It might be a situation just like Dwight Howard. You know, does the Van Gundy go or does Del Negro go as opposed to in hopes of keeping your star player? Because Chris Paul's a free agent as well. You know, where is he going?
I got a question for you guys then. Is the Chris Paul and the players on that L.A. Clipper team a bunch of locker room lawyers or divas? If that's the case, do they need a coach that's got some rings behind him in order to carry some weight? Or if you bring a coach in there that doesn't have any kind of credentials, I think you're going to get the same results.
We talking about the Clippers. We're talking about
yeah, but they got a lot of talent, man.
Well,
we're talking about
I'll tell you like this. You can say you're talking about the Clippers, but I'll say, you know, he's dealing with the diva, as Jerry called it, Zach Randolph and stuff like that. I think Lionel has a very good reputation within the NBA for the players that they'll play for him and they'll listen to him because, one, and I hate to do it this way, but it's probably true, because he's a black head coach. And he's taken a small market team with minimal talent and made them a cohesive team and has taken them to the conference final twice. So let's just like, and I want to try to do the parallel. Let's just like a football coach, you know, Urban Meyer going from Utah, because he was great at Utah, going to Florida and getting a national championship. And now, you know, after the little issues, whatever, is at Ohio State and has another shot at a national championship. I look at Lionel in that regard. He's in a small market area, can do what the best that he can with a team that isn't as marketed as someone, let's say, like the Clippers, and develop that team into a perennial.
I keep talking about the Clippers like they the Clippers. We talking about the Clippers. Oh.
Yeah, but
hold on. The commissioner had to cheat to put that team together. He had to cheat to put that team together. Come on, man. Y'all, I'm shocked at y'all. I am shocked at y'all.
Why that?
I am telling you, Chris Paul will not re-sign with them Clippers. He not gonna re-sign with them. He not. He gonna be either in Brooklyn, New York, or
what?
Jersey. Yeah, he not signing with them. He not signing with them.
So what are they gonna do with Darren Williams if he goes to Brooklyn? And Brandon Sultan ain't in a slouch, you know. But I mean, I don't know. I think he'll resign.
I was just saying either Brooklyn or the Knicks. Because the Knicks, you know, when they fall on their ass this series coming up, they're gonna need to do some kind of splash or something, you know, to help them out. And I can see them going after that. Brooklyn needs some heart, you know what I'm saying? And he got more heart than all them dudes on that squad. They could trade Darren Williams or something. I don't know, but nah, man, I don't see him re-signing with them. I don't see it.
We talk
about the Clippers.
Look, Allen Iverson, I got it. But
you guys are funny, man.
I know. I want to jump into since we're over in the Eastern Conference anyway. Let's go to the other series that's waiting on either the Knicks or the Pacers. Now, the Knicks play the Pacers tonight, and the Pacers hopefully, or they plan on ending the series at home in Spike Lee's face and move it on to face the Heat. Well, the star of the Heat says, you know, his Robin is very important, and they need him at all costs. So here's LBJ.
I know what he's meant for this franchise and what he means to our team, and in order for us to continue to be successful, he's going to be him. And, you know, I'm not worried about, you know, his statistics.
So, you know, we're talking about Dwayne Wade. You know, he's an integral part of the team. Him getting 10 points a game or whatever it is he's getting isn't, you know, concerning LBJ because he can turn it on whenever he needs to turn it on. Got it. But does this layoff that they're going to have hurt the Heat if they play the Pacers on Wednesday or if they play the Knicks on Wednesday? Because that's what's going to happen. The game's either gonna, the game is going to happen on Wednesday, but we don't know who they're going to play just yet. Talk to me.
Well, I think that just like what happened in the Chicago game, that they had a small layoff between the series that ended and then before they started Chicago. I think there may be a little rust factor going into the first game of that series, but it's going to be beneficial to Dwayne Wade so he can do some more resting on his bad knee. Whatever other ailments he has, but I don't think it's going to make it too much of a difference once they get past the first game. If they have a bad first game, I think they'll still play well. I still think that they're vulnerable. I don't think it's a foregone conclusion that they're going to the finals. So we'll just have to wait and see how this plays out between the Knicks and the Pacers before we can I can decide on which way I want to go and how I can analyze what's going to happen in the Heat and the Eastern Conference Finals.
Okay. Mike?
We talk about the Pacers. The Pacers, Slim. Like, nah, I agree with Jerry. I definitely agree with Jerry. The only part I don't agree with him is that it's a foregone conclusion that
I knew you were going to say that.
We'll be in the conference final. Mm-hmm. You know? It would be a good thing if the Pacers come out and, you know, thrash the in the first game. It'll just make it more interesting to watch, but they'll figure out a way to win.
Okay. I'm not so certain that the Pacers are gonna go to the Eastern Conference final.
I'm not certain with that either.
Well, the only bad thing about it, the Pacers haven't lost in the playoffs at home yet. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, the Knicks haven't beaten the Pacers in Indiana this year. So
no,
you got two things.
No, they've won one game.
They got two factors. What's that?
I think they beat them once.
I don't think the Knicks have beat them this year. Excuse me, in Indiana. And those are two factors that they have to overcome and play well to win this game to get back to New York with a possible chance of winning in seven. Not too many teams that are down 3-1 get a chance to get to a game seven and win it. So.
Well, those are your New York Knickerbockers, so I was hoping you'd show a little gumption there, but I guess not.
I'm just keeping it real, man. Just because they're my team doesn't mean I'm going to.
That's your team, Jay.
Yes.
I thought the Pacers was your mom.
No.
You thought? I mean, the way
I'm fair and objective reporting, man. My analysis is fair and. What's that?
BS.
No, it's a fact. I just.
I call it
how I see it.
Jerry,
I call it how
call.
I see it.
Nah, Jerry, I'm about to call BS on that. That's flip flop because you were talking about the Pacers. You were
talking about the
Pacers.
Well, if you listen to my commentary, I was
right.
All over on Sunday with the Knicks. But I'm a Knicks fan through and through. And but I'm gonna call it like I see it. If they're playing like garbage, I'm gonna play like it. I gotta give props to Indiana because they're doing the necessary thing, and the coach is making the necessary adjustments in order to offset what the New York Knicks do best. So, and it's got them a 3-2 lead right now. So we'll see what happens. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. I'd be disappointed, but I wouldn't be surprised if Indiana wins by 10 in Indiana, because the fact is the Knicks have been playing like garbage in Indiana all year. So we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, we'll wait and see. That game comes on later tonight. It's going to be, hopefully, must-see TV, hopefully. And I believe the Spurs play the Grizzlies tomorrow night.
Yeah, at 3 o'clock, 3:30, I think, something like that, in the afternoon.
Okay, tomorrow afternoon. Mm-hmm. So that should be a good game as well. And
mm-hmm.
the NBA season starting out. So to wrap up, and as we gear towards or move toward the final game, we'll see what happens there. But let's switch gears real quick and talk about something that's near and dear to JT ATM Money's heart. Not the $100 he owes me, but a horse. We're talking about the Preakness. Here's a little sound bite.
Being able to do it the way that you want to do it and bring the horse along, let the horse bring it where you want to be, and that's Orb's a prime example.
And that was the trainer or the owner of the favorite for the Preakness, Patience. Jerry, you're the horse man. What's going on? Talk to us about that. Talk to us about the Preakness.
Well, the Preakness, quite naturally, is the second leg of the Triple Crown in Pimlico, down there, the DMV area.
That's
particularly,
right.
Particularly in Baltimore. I've been to Laurel Park, which is further down, but I have yet to be.
Yeah, which is more close to D.C. Tell him again.
But I have yet to get to Pimlico. It happens to be one of my favorite tracks to wager on. But they used to call it Old Hilltop. That's the name of nickname of Pimlico. And the Kentucky Derby is a mile and a quarter. The second leg of the Triple Crown is Pimlico, which is the Preakness, which is a mile and 3/16, which is shorter, with tighter turns. And the overwhelming favorite right now, which is at even money, is Orb. Myself,
okay.
I didn't wager on Orb in the Kentucky Derby, and I don't think he should be the overwhelming favorite in this race. I think there's a couple of horses that may give him a run for his money. And I think I'm going to be looking to beat Orb in this race, and I hope it's my lucky day. So
that's the name of the horse you're picking.
How'd you guess? I'm glad you're so perceptive on what I just said. Yes. One of the horses in the race happens to be It's My Lucky Day, and the morning light on this horse is, hold on a minute here, I'll give it to you in 1 minute. I think he's 10-1, if I'm not mistaken. Come on, what the heck? Anytime you want to do something, my computer locks up on me. Hold on.
It's all right. But
hold on.
I'm not familiar with the track. So is this a dirt or grass track?
No, well, most racetracks in the United States, there are a few that aren't, but most racetracks have a combination of an outer dirt track and an inner turf track, and quite naturally, Pimlico is one of them. So they have a combination. They run.
You never been to Pimlico, so?
I've been to some racetrack in that area. I think it was at Laurel. I think I've been to the Laurel racetrack. So.
Laurel.
Yeah, Laurel is in Laurel, Maryland. So, Laurel's in Laurel, Maryland. I've never been to Pimlico myself either, so I wanted to get there one of these days. I haven't yet to get down. It's only a 3-hour ride from where I'm at. So but anyway, the horse I like, he's morning line is 10-1. It's called It's My Lucky Day, and hopefully I'm gonna put a couple dollars on him and use him with the favorite, and hopefully It's My Lucky Day will be my lucky day. So
it waits for me as well.
So we'll see what happens.
I get paid too. I hope. I've been waiting. I've been very patient.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Is that right?
I've been very patient. Yeah. I've been cranky, but I've been patient.
Okay. It's a big day of racing. They started racing in Pimlico at approximately 10:45, and it's probably going to go on until about 6:30, 7 o'clock. It's a long day. So
have you been making wagers on the other events that's going on?
Well,
there, or?
One of the things I have to tell you is this: I have a reservation at a track, which is near me, which is Monmouth Park, for a table where my friend and I are going to be sitting in this afternoon, and I'll be racing on simulcasting. I mean, I'll be wagering on simulcasting from Pimlico after I get off the air.
Okay.
All right, sure.
Give me some birthday money.
Go ahead, Mike.
Oh, that's right. Today is your little monkey-ass birthday.
Oh, my God. You are not right.
You about me, Jerry.
You are not right.
Thank you. And you see why I behave the way I do. It's not just me. It's in the blood. See?
I forgot today was the 8th.
It's okay. All the kids be born on Valentine's Day.
I'm sorry.
On Valentine's Day.
Yeah, all of us have a, designated holiday as our birthday. Not a lot of
it
folks,
ain't a holiday.
No.
It ain't a holiday.
You know what I'm saying? And the fact that I get excused from every gift to give any woman on Valentine's Day. Thank you.
Oh, boy. Mr. Garner, is your email still AOL.com?
That's my other one. I don't check that one as much. Whatever you want to send it to my, send it to the one that you sent the graphic to.
Oh man, and you going to make me to remember that again, huh?
Check your sent email and look for me, and then just whatever you got to send me, just send it that way.
Oh God.
But, I like the races and stuff like that. I went maybe twice. And when I did go, I hit the trifecta or whatever it was. I didn't have a lot of money on it, but I won. You know, I got the little bug for a second, but I'm not a real gambler. I will wager once in a while. Just like right now, Powerball is $550 million. I'm going to play Powerball. Mega Millions is like 200 and some change. I'm going to play Mega Millions. I'm not going to go on these guys to play every day, every week. You know, that's not going to be me. I would like to win some. You know, that would be cool. But if not, so be it. But let's move on to another situation. I really don't know if you guys are familiar with the Sacramento Kings situation. If not, we're going to skip it. Are you guys familiar with that? Yes, no, maybe so?
Yeah. I read a couple of things about it.
The NBA,
I think it was like between $20 to $16 million less to keep the team in Sacramento.
Something like that.
I thought that was a good move. You know, it signals to all of the other cities that, you know, that are to get teams that, you know, you just can't buy your way to get a team or whatever. I kind of respect that.
I kind of like that. Expected them to just dip up out of there if you Seattle. Too bad
Seattle, though. Well, they want a team back again. But let's hear what Kevin Johnson, former Phoenix son and current Sacramento mayor, had to say about this whole situation and the Kings staying in Sacramento.
This community that we know and love will never be the same because of what transpired over the last year. When you think about a defining moment, we've always said it's bigger than basketball. We know it's about a team, yes, but it's about jobs. It's about revitalizing our downtown community.
So, true politician. True politician,
yeah,
Kevin.
He's turned into a good politician. But, I mean, in a way, he's right. You know, Sacramento is nothing but farmland, if you want to think about it. It's not that much in Sacramento other than the Kings. I don't know if this is going to make a big difference. They're going to build a new stadium. They're going to do a lot of different things. But if the product is the same, people aren't going to fill up the stadium and pay the outrageous prices that they're going to request. You know, it's, to me, it's kind of, I think it would be better to have sent them to back to Seattle, because Seattle has that passion for basketball. They aren't a small community and things of that nature, so it's a good opportunity, in my opinion, for them to come back and do it. But if it's not happening, it's not happening. So anybody got anything else to say about this?
Nah. Nope. Only thing I got to say is Kevin needs to shut up and go tend to his wife.
Oh.
Well, Miss Reed, yeah, Miss Reed.
Oh, I can't stand her,
school system.
I can't stand
her.
Who's this?
Michelle Reed is the former District of Columbia chancellor, like Board of Education person, and she privatized pretty much all of D.C. public schools, and she set in motion a lot of things that are going on today.
Okay.
She left maybe four or five years ago, something like that.
She left before she could get tossed up out of there. And soon, right
correct.
After she left, that mayor got tossed up out of there because of all the stuff that she did.
However, a lot of those things that people got mad at her about are now getting implemented because they were already approved. So you're getting a lot of D.C. public schools that are getting closed. I mean, I think all of them, if not like 80% of all of D.C. public schools are getting closed and turned to charter schools.
What?
And stuff like that.
Yeah.
So,
Yeah, man. That chick just basically is looting the federal government. They looting.
Wow.
They are looting.
Wow. That's crazy.
That's what happened. And that is Kevin Johnson's wife. They were
exactly.
married while she was still the chancellor, and then I guess once she left, she came out here to join Kevin and be the first lady of Sacramento. But
she could stay out
A lot of things that, again, like I said, that she put in motion, are 5 years ago, is just now coming about. And a lot of folks want to say, the current administration in D.C. and stuff is going, no, they got to check the history books and see what was voted on and what got passed. Because they don't, once it gets passed, it's not easy to turn that stuff down because they've already given out the contracts. They've already done this, that, and the third. So that's the situation, and D.C. is doing a drastic change with its school system. But,
and the funny thing, and Jerry, the funny thing is every time that this mayor administration, looks to turn up the heat to change up. I mean, it looks to change, change the culture and different things. The heat gets turned up on different parts of his administration. You know what I'm saying? You hear about $300 that somebody stole from the campaign, or you know what I'm saying? Just real dumb stuff that you just be like, what are they doing
politics.
In D.C.? Yeah,
politics.
Real petty politics. Real petty. Real petty. Oh,
wow.
That's the situation. That's the situation there. And, it's a sidebar to what we're talking about, but it's kind of, on the same note, because Kevin's talking about the team of the Kings, they're vital to the infrastructure of Seattle. You know, I mean, not Seattle, Sacramento. So, you know, that's what it is. That's what it is. But
hey, Mr. Gardner, check your email.
Okay, I'll do that in a minute. I want you. Well, while I'm checking it, I want you to pontificate on your struggles and now your resurrection of your fantasy baseball team, and we're going to get into that top 10 breakdown since we have 30 minutes left before we jump on the Gronkowski topic. So go right ahead.
Okay. Back in, I forget when we had the draft, back in March, I think it was, sometime in March, when we had the baseball draft, and I was pontificating on no problem, man, happy birthday, what direction to go. I decided to follow my philosophy, which quite naturally only makes sense, to draft everyday players and wait to draft my pitching. Well, when I did that, everyone else who was drafting their pitching early and then mingling their everyday players in between, got a head start on the season in fantasy baseball. But my philosophy was this. I was going to get my everyday players, the best ones that I could, and get some decent pitchers to pick up later in the draft. And then from there, I would be able to pick up pitchers that would be beginning to flourish during the season, and also pick up scraps, and I wouldn't say scraps, but pick off pitchers that the other owners got discouraged with that I picked up, I would pick up and use. And then stream back and forth each week certain pitchers that I would use to gain an advantage. The first few weeks it didn't work. The second 2 weeks, the third and the fourth week, or the fourth and the fifth week, I started picking up some momentum, and I lost last week, but I lost very closely to one of the leaders in the league. Right now, I'm beating the number 2 seed in the league when I happen to be the number 7. My team is getting better and better. And I still have 2 strong bats sitting on my DL list waiting to come back. I'm going to be a force. It's only a third into the season. I'm going to be a force, and the champ will have no rivals.
Please. Please.
The champ will have no rivals.
I'm so sick of that.
Hey, if you look at my team, Vic, and the picks that I've been making up, for the last few weeks, I'm gaining momentum, and I'm making the right moves are there, and I got players and pitchers in place that I can contend with, and I still my best pitcher is coming off the DL. He went on the DL early. He's coming back off the DL, and then I still have Giancarlo Stanton and Hanley Ramirez in the DL. I'm going to be a serious force come the middle of this season. The first third, I'm gaining myself and weeding out my weaknesses. Trust me when I'm telling you this. You're going to stay on the bottom like you are right now, and you're going to be looking up at me.
You got to throw that in there? All right, ladies and gentlemen, let me jump in here. Let me jump in here and discuss what Mr. Taylor's talking about here. Okay. Yes, we have the draft. I have the Killer Bees. I dubbed them the Killer Bees. Braun, Harper, and Bautista. And they start off well for me. But then the injury bug hit. And
like I said.
Oh, my goodness. And
no, I'm sorry.
Pitchers. I had like 2 solid pitchers, and I was hoping for help with for another one of the bats. I mean, another one of the pitchers, but it really didn't happen, so it kind of hurt. I had to go scour the waiver wire, and I found a couple of quality pitchers. It's just I can't get top performance all the time from these pitchers. And my number one pitcher, which is Gio Gonzalez, he's struggling a little bit this year, and it's hurting because I was hoping to put him in and bank on him to score and give me the points. Tim Lincecum has come on and done well for me as well. Matt Scherzer and a few others have, but that's my weak point. And yes, I've replaced Jerry at the bottom of the league. I'm number 11 out of 12, where Jerry was 12 out of 12, and he moved up to 7. All the standings are tight. The standings are tight. I will say this. The guys in this league are very competitive, which is a very good thing because it doesn't make anything boring. I'll give an example. Like right now, I'm losing to my boy Jason Cacera, JDK2013, 16-5. However, the categories are so close that could change by the end of tonight and as late as the last game of tomorrow. So it's very close. Every division is fairly even with good players or good teams and maybe one weak team. So it's a very even league, and it's solid. I'll say it that way. It is solid. But we'll see what happens at the end of the season when Jerry is not in the playoffs. I am, and I'll get to gloat one more time again.
Victor.
What?
Since you've been telling me about you playing fantasy baseball, the only place you've been is on the bottom. So I don't expect anything other than that. So when you tell me that you're going to be in the playoffs, that's Judy Garland type of talk. You know who Judy Garland is, right?
It's not the Wizard of Oz. It's not going over the rainbow. So
I mean, that's just wishful thinking. You're dreaming. That's basically what I'm saying. You're dreaming. You're dreaming that you think you're going to be in this. Let me put it this way. You'll be lucky if you get to ninth or eighth.
What?
At eighth. I'm telling you. Your team and the way you run your team, trust me, you suck.
Don't play
fantasy baseball. You know what? You should run the league but you should not play in it because you suck at fantasy baseball.
Okay. Here's the deal.
All of us
don't have a mom that knows baseball. I could have sworn your mom in the movie 42.
Let me tell you something. You could joke about that all you want, Victor. To tell you the truth, I don't use my mother. I don't need to use my mother to beat you or to win the league. But you know, when you play fantasy baseball or any kind of fantasy, and you're playing for money, you use any kind of resource you can to win. Am I right about that?
That is correct. So mom helped you last year, and you admitted it. Thank you for admitting it.
No, I didn't admit it. I'm just saying you use your resources that are going to benefit you. And if it's my mother, I haven't used my mother, but if it's my mother that's going to benefit me to win the league, I'll use it. But I haven't used anybody but the knowledge that I have, and it's very easy to beat FSP Blink and Die.
No way. It's all right. We play next week, if I'm not mistaken. Let me check right now. We're playing this week.
In another league.
That league, you know that league is – George
what?
Junior's league is kind of wacky, but it's a close
what?
Competition.
It's a league. You jumped into it. So you wanted to contend just like everybody else, and I'm dominating that league. I know you thought. I know you thought. I know you thought earlier in the week that I got him. I'm gonna get him. You were beating me.
Hey.
Well, you know what? I'm spanking your butt right now, and it's going. It's not going to get better. It's only going to get worse.
You ain't spanking nothing. And thank you for what you told me. I appreciate what you told me. I'll leave you alone about it. But week ten in Yahoo went because the money's on the line in Yahoo. Get ready for your butt whooping. You'll be lucky if you get
that
six categories.
That's not happening.
Six chats. We'll see.
That's all you
we'll
got,
cuz?
Be ready for your butt. Oh, my God.
I don't need anymore. I don't need anymore. I'm good. I don't need anymore. I'm good. So, I mean, with that, jibber jabber.
We're off to see the wizard.
Julie, whatever her name is, go find some heart and some courage. But let's talk about the top 10 draft picks and how they've been doing so far.
No problem. Let's talk about them. No problem.
All right. So let's start with everybody's consistent number one, other than Jerry's, Mr. Trout. He hasn't had a spectacular season thus far, but he hasn't had a bad season. So let's break down 1 through 10. And, it's debatable 1 through 10. But, the top five really isn't that debatable. So let's go in there. Enlighten us, Mr. Taylor, with your breakdown of these players.
Okay. Top 10, number one. Now,
I want you to write
an
article on this on our website page, which it happens to be fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com. Again, that's fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com. You can go to fantasy articles. Mr. Taylor is going to have this analysis up at some point this week, I hope.
Okay. I can do that. Hold on a minute. Let me see. You know what? I had said this, these guys were, I wouldn't say interchangeable, but for the most part, I had said that I consider Ryan Braun the number one fantasy player. And I'm not too far off. I know Miguel Cabrera, I expected him to regress a little bit from a career year. He hasn't. So I'm going to have to take a back step and say Miguel Cabrera is the number one player. But Ryan Braun is number two. And you notice that I haven't mentioned the favorite son of everyone who thought he'd be one or two. The next one is, I think it would be Robinson Cano, who's been pounding the baseball pretty well. Then I'll go to Mike Trout, and I think Mike Trout at number four is going to be falling back, not going forward. I don't think he's going to have the year a lot of people think he's going to have, and I'll stick to that. Carlos Gonzalez has been ripping the ball off. He, a couple days ago, he almost hit for the cycle. He had two home runs and a double and a single, I think it was. Andrew McCutchen had a little short spurt where he wasn't hitting, but he's starting to pound the baseball, is my number six. Justin Upton, who's the number one home run leader in the major leagues, is number seven. And Prince Fielder is right behind him. And believe it or not, this guy is the most dominant pitcher right now. And I had a feeling Justin Verlander wasn't going to be the same pitcher he was in the past, and he showed some chinks in his armor. But Clayton Kershaw is the clear number one pitcher in fantasy baseball, and he's number nine. And then I have to go to my old standby that I like this guy a lot. I've got him only in one league, I've only in two leagues. I wanted to get him in the main league, but I couldn't. Hopefully I try. Torey Tulowitzki at number 10.
All right, so your assessment thus far is that the top 10, other than Trout, has lived up to their billing. Now, other than Verlander and Trout, let me clarify that. why do you think Trout has not hit the power, has not, you know, hit the ball as hard as he has, even though he has eight or nine home runs, and he's leading up the team in RBIs, but
that's not saying much.
I got it. I was getting to that because the team isn't doing that well, but they've also had the injury bug hit them a lot too. But other than that, why is it, do you think, that Trout isn't dominating like he was last year? Is it because pitchers have caught up to him, or what?
I said this ad nauseum leading up to the our draft and leading up to baseball. Last year he had a breakout. I wouldn't say breakout year. Last year he had a phenomenal year. I expected him to regress. There was no two ways about it. He was going to regress because the type of year he had, no one can sustain that. The media hype considered him the next huge phenom. I don't pay attention to so-called experts. I never have, and I told you that a long time ago. I think I know a little bit about baseball. I'm not a so-called expert, but I can see with my eyes that this guy is going to get caught up to, and he's not going to have this type of phenomenal season that he had last year. I still say he's not going to be in the top 10. Right now, he's four, in my opinion, and I'm still thinking he's going to regress because as the year goes on, he's going to start pressing more and more to put up numbers and put a little bit more on himself, and that's going to hurt him. Plus the fact is these pitchers, like I had said earlier, are going to catch up to him, and he has to make an adjustment. And if he's not able to make the adjustments enough to be able to produce at the level he was last year, he's going to regress in fantasy, and I think that's what's going to happen.
Okay, so then those are your top 10. Give the listeners some players to be on the lookout for. You know, you lauded the fact that pick and choose players at will. So give the listeners three players, any position that they should look out for, and if they're available, grab them.
I hate doing this because I know you like the back of my hand that you'll jump on these guys, but that's okay because you can make room. Don't even try it. You can make room. Don't even go there. Anyway, one of them is a shortstop that I've been wanting to get on my team, and I think he's going to be able to provide more powers. He's a consistent hitter. I like to see more stolen bases out of him and a little bit more consistent defensive play, but to eliminate some of the errors that he makes. He's a shortstop out of what team is he on? He's a shortstop that I really like.
What team is he on? That doesn't help anybody.
He's from Arizona. I'm sorry. He's from Arizona. I'm trying to think what team. I know the guy's name. I just didn't know forgot what team he was on. He's a shortstop from the Arizona Diamondbacks. Didi Gregorius is a very good hitter. Doesn't seem like he has too much power, but hopefully the power numbers will come. I like him a lot going into the rest of the season. Another guy and people probably know about this guy. I think he was hurt for a while, and he's back now. He plays first base for the Cardinals, which is one of the best offensive teams in the majors, Matt Adams. And Matt Adams is a very good hitter. It's just a problem of finding a spot to put him in to be able to use him in everyday play. Let me see if I can pick up a pitcher here. I'm trying to think of a pitcher that I like that maybe people don't have. This guy, and I have him, and I think he's going to have a better than normal year than most people think. Kyle Kendrick. Kyle Kendrick is Philadelphia Phillies pitcher. His ERA is 2.47. His WHIP is 1.06, which is very good. And he's probably middle of the road of the league leader in strikeouts. Kyle Kendrick, if you don't have him in your lineup, he's a steady pitcher. He's probably not on a lot of teams, and you could pick him up, and he'll do quite a bit for you. In fact, he is pitching today, if I'm not mistaken. Yes, okay. He is pitching today. So if you're in need of a pitcher in your league, go get Kyle Kendrick. He'll give you solid innings and strikeouts, and keep his whippers down. So those three players I like that come off the top of my head. I can tell you that either I don't have or go get them or do have.
Okay. Well, you heard, ladies and gentlemen, from the master. He's a supposed guru. I'm quite sure somebody slipped on a piece of paper and said, "Here, baby, let me help you out a little bit." But, you know, I understand. He is the master. So,
let me tell you, before you go any further,
I'll bow down,
Vic,
to him. I'll bow
before
down
you,
to
before
you
go any further, Nick, I mean, Vic, the reason I have what I say is, and I wanted to prove a point, and I can't wait to the end of the season to see if I'm going to win this or not. I went a certain way to weaken my team in pitching and to see if I can win this league a different way than I won it last year. And God help you. God help any of the other members in the league if I win this thing or in contention near the end of this season. God help you. Let me tell you
hold
that.
On. So let me get this straight, Jerry. So in order for you to feel like you have some type of competition,
mm-hmm.
you got to handicap yourself.
Yes.
Because these dudes just
whatever.
Don't know what they're doing.
Yes.
Whatever.
Yes.
Wow.
So the beginning of the season, I was 11-12 in the standings, and I'm moving up steadily. So, and believe it or not, Vic, if you look at the standings and look at the scores that are going on right now, a third into the season, this is a big week. There's going to be a lot of movement and teams because of what's going on between the matchups this week. So
I know. That's why I need to find a way to beat Jay, because if I can beat him, I can catapult from 11 to like 7 or 8.
I don't know how you can do that, man.
I
don't know how you do it. Your team sucks.
You know what? Thanks for the compliment. That's all right. That's okay. That's okay. You're going to learn today. You're going to learn today. Anyway,
I learned nothing.
We got about 12 minutes left alive here, and I want to get on this one topic before we get out of here, and I can celebrate my birthday. Go see Chris Tucker.
Oh, really?
Gronk. Yeah, Chris Tucker's performing out here. Wife bought me some tickets, so we're going to go out and see Mr. Tucker, see if he still got it. Rob Gronkowski, New England Patriots tight end. He's been in the news lately because, like, every other week he has to have a surgery. His
mm-hmm.
body has been like a pincushion lately.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and how dangerous is that for him personally as well as professionally? You know, does he have any value in fantasy? Well, his doctor has this to say about his recovery and the things that are going on with Gronk.
If there's any area around the bone that looks like there's some non-viable or dead tissue, or there's any persistent infection, then they can't put a new plate on, and they'd have to come back a fifth time. If, though, it looks like it's not infected and it's completely cleared, then they can go ahead and put a new plate on.
So Gronk is looking at probably a fifth surgery for, you know, is it time to, you know, say, you know what, I'm not going to wait, I'm not going to pick Gronk at all this year, or I'm going to pick him late, and get Aaron Hernandez in his place? What's his value as a fantasy player this year, you know, fantasy tight end, as well as the likelihood that his career is in danger
You talking to me?
JT. Yes, JT.
Oh God. This is a tough call. I can't trust him. There's no way I can trust him.
Exactly.
There's no way I can trust him. This guy is as big and strong as he looks. He's getting more and more fragile. I don't know if it's well, he's got a pretty reckless way of playing, and that may be the reason why it's catching up with him now. His body's breaking down a little bit. I don't understand why he can't shake this infection in his arm that they have to keep on going in and doing an operation on the same arm. You have to wait and see. I mean, to me, I can't trust him. At one point, he was the first, a late first or an early second round pick. Not now. Not now. He's dropped down. He's probably dropped down to fourth, fifth round, in my opinion. I couldn't take a chance on him because you never know what you're going to get. He could break down at any time.
Okay. Mike?
Yeah, I wouldn't touch him. I would not touch him until, you know, hopefully the young man can get back going and get back out there because he's a phenomenal player when he's out there. But, no, I wouldn't touch him. I wouldn't touch him.
Okay. My personal opinion is that, like Jerry said, he plays very recklessly and he throws his body around. And that's his work. So imagine how he is when he plays. You know, we've seen the videos of him dancing and throwing his body all over the place and all these other little crazy videos and stuff that he's done in the recent, well, in the past couple months. So the infection, I can see that happening because he's probably not taking too good care of it. And he's just being reckless. I think the Patriots recognize that, and even though they didn't draft a tight end, they have Hernandez as the backup, and they have serviceable blocking tight ends. So they can. I think Hernandez will get a big bump in his draft status this upcoming year. We'll see what happens there, but
I couldn't even trust him.
He's
fragile too, man.
Well, then who else is Tom going to throw to? That's the question. Who then is Tom going to throw to out there in the wing? He has a bunch of no names.
That's not the first time. That's not the first time he's had a bunch of no names that he had to throw to. So this would be nothing new that he had no names to throw to. It's just the fact is. You got Danny Amendola, and you got Aaron Hernandez. Both of them are injury-prone. And I'm trying to think of who else they have on the roster that they may be using.
They don't have too many outside threats. Danny's going to be a slot. I believe they re-signed Edelman, or did Edelman go to San Diego? I got to check on that.
No, they have Edelman, but Edelman is got it's not the most durable guy either. So
I know, but we got to find out what happens. We're going to talk about this issue and more this upcoming summer. As usual, we're going to start our breakdown of the conferences and divisions in June, leading all the way up to August. Well. You want to start in July, Jerry? You want to start in July? You want to?
We can start in July. How many conferences we got? We got the divisions.
You got two conferences, but you got eight conferences. That's 2 months.
Yeah, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 3, 4, 8.
And then, you know, you got different things going on in the summer, so I don't know.
How about we start it in late June?
Late June's cool. That works for me. Late June is cool. I'll have an opportunity to, I'll try to get this opportunity to interview Patrick Willis because my boys are going to his camp, and I'll be coaching one of these camps with a couple high school and NFL coaches, and I'll take as many of these there as well. And we can pick which divisions we're going to cover ahead of time so we can prepare and all that other stuff. But ladies
sure.
and gentlemen, this is bringing us to the end of our show. We had a great hour and a half. About 5 minutes left in the show. So I'm going to do what I normally do, which is promote every show we have. On Saturdays, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK. You'll find FSP, Fantasy Sports and Politics. That'll be me. Always, 99% of the time, I got my co-host, JT, ATM Money. And if I'm not here, JT's got it covered. So I owe him a debt of gratitude as well as many other things once we hit it big. I promise. Then on Sunday, the master, he comes back at it again with the master plan, giving you insight and information, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, once again here on blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK. Then on Monday, we have Time Out with Sylvia Crawley at 7 p.m. this Monday.
Don't miss it.
Yeah, don't miss it. Confirm, book, lock in. We have an Olympic gold medalist, a wonderful young lady, could have been my baby mama.
I doubt
God.
That.
Yes.
I doubt that.
Whatever. Watch what I say when she's on the air.
Yeah, okay.
Like Mike Flatton. She might slap me.
Hey, look, I got a dual number right here in my iPhone, right here.
She might be right there when I say it, but that don't mean I'm gonna need it. But anyway.
Yeah, we'll see.
Marion Jones is on Timeout with Sylvia Crawley this Monday, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK. She's going to be talking about things in her life that caused her to take a time out. Of course, she'll probably speak about her issue, but we're not going to dwell on that because we're going to talk about the positives that she can bring to someone's life and how she empowers young ladies and others to do better. So that's what we're going to be talking about. Sylvia's going to knock it out the park as usual. Cross your fingers. The following week, we're in negotiations with Rick Pitino to come on the show and talk with him, as well as a young man from Louisville that had his shin broke right there on live TV. We'll try to get him as well. Sylvia's working on magic on that. But then on Not yet. 40 inch football. I was thinking about something, but that's coming. On Thursdays, you've got the FSP Crew Show. Jeff, Jerry, and Black. Black's doing his thing. Tonight at UDC, he'll be at ringside as Dusty Harris takes on a new opponent.
Eddie Soto.
So get your pop. Yeah, Mr. Soto. And they're going to be duking it out at the UDC Sports Complex, 4200 Connecticut Avenue. So check that out. And Black will be here on Thursday to give his breakdown on that. And he's writing an article for the Afro newspaper to submit. And he's going to throw something up on our website as well. Then on Friday, you got Mac Williams and JKTM Money again doing No Chaser. I'm not sure if we got a guest coming on, but we'll see what happens. That happens every Friday at 7 p.m. here on Blog Talk Radio. And you're back here with me again. Yeah, I know you love it. You got to love it. Go check our website out, fantasysportsandpolitics.web.com. Like the page. Join it. See what we got going on. And trust me, you'll like it. With about 1 minute left of airtime, real quick, cuz, give a shout-out to your show and where people can get on with you at.
Check us out every Tuesday night, Grown Soul and Real Talk. Find us on the show starts at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m. Pacific.
You can also check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/grownsoul. Also, you can check out our website at grownsoul.com. That's about it.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're about to end the show. I want to thank my guys. And I'll see you guys next Saturday because I got to go have some fun. I appreciate you. Enjoy your day. And thanks for the money, JT.
No
ladies
problem.
Happy birthday, what? LaFontaine.
Happy birthday,
real?
Too sweet.
For real? That's how you're going to go?
Yeah, LaFontaine. Yeah.
All right. I got you, perm.
Happy birthday, Victor.
Thank you, dog. I appreciate you guys. And love you, cuz. I actually love you, too, Jerry. I give you a hard time only because I know that you can take it and you're my guy. I mean, you've
right.
been very supportive, so I appreciate that.
No problem.
But we got to get out of here. My wife's going to beat my butt off.
All
right, guys. We'll see y'all next week.
Fantasy, sports, and politics.
You in the right place, so take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got to live, you know I got mine, but there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy.